Welcome to Primorye on Russia's eastern frontier, where rugged cliffs meet the shimmering sea of Japan. Today, we're going to take to the waves and uncover some of the treasures that this breathtaking coastline has to offer.
Meet Yana Ivleva. Back in 2017, she entered the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest stand-up paddleboard parade.
Ah, Yana, what a perfect morning to go subboarding today.
Yes, for sure.
Now, I have to start with your record. 844 subboarders out on the water all at once. How on earth did you manage to pull off this feat?
It wasn't easy, but it was doable, and we ended up breaking the record previously held by your fellow Brits. Back then, it was around 400 subboards or so.
Only?
We more than doubled that. 844 people took to the water at the same time. It was a one-off mass subboarding event.
Amazing.
But that was back in 2017. Today, I'm sure we could get there thousands. Subboarding has become incredibly popular here because of the region's beauty. Vladivostok and Primorye are truly unique. The scenery is breathtaking. Head north and you'll feel like you're in Iceland. Giant cliffs and wild, raw landscapes. Head south and it's like the Maldives, white sand, turquoise water. The perfect place to sip a pina colada and imagine you're in a foreign land. That beauty, that untouched wilderness is what really made subboarding take off here.
So I take it it's quite accessible as a sport. What are the basics that you need to go subboarding?
And another reason SUP is so popular is that it's very accessible. You don't even need your own board. There are rentals everywhere in the city and across the Primorsky Krai. The essentials are simple. A board, of course, and the most important thing, a leash. Never go out without one. It's your lifeline on the water. Then you need a paddle, and I'd also recommend a dry bag like this one here. It's not just handy. You can put your means of communication in it. In case of an emergency, you'll always stay connected. You can keep your phone, GPS, or maps inside, so if something happens, you can always call for help. People sometimes forget. SUP might look easy and relaxing, but like any sport, it carries risks. So safety gear matters. Depending on the season, a wetsuit is also a good idea. 3 millimeters now, like the one you're wearing, or a thicker one if it's early spring or late fall, and that's really all you need.
And how do you assess the conditions out on the water, the waves, the wind? I mean, to my untrained eye, these look like almost perfect conditions to go subboarding today.
Yes, today really is perfect. We planned our meeting for this day on purpose, because before it was windy with waves. We usually track a whole bunch of forecasts to find some kind of common ground. It's tricky because the weather changes so fast. It can be calm one moment, and half an hour later, huge waves roll in, or even a storm. And suddenly, the joy of being out on the water is gone. So you really have to keep an eye on the weather forecasts. There are plenty of them, with wind maps and even wave height charts. Ideally, you should learn how to read them. It's not that easy for a beginner, but with time and experience, anyone can pick it up.
Well, let's hope there are no surprises waiting for us out on the water today. Let's go, Yana. Okay. So, Yana, it's called subboarding, which stands for stand-up paddleboarding. But you don't necessarily have to stand up, do you? Sometimes when I can't be bothered, I basically just sit down and use it like a kayak. Is that still okay?
That's right. SUP technically stands for stand up paddle. But I always tell people who join our outings when I brief them before the ride that there is no rule saying you must paddle standing all the time. Everyone has a different fitness level, and some people just aren't comfortable standing right away, and that's totally fine. You'll still enjoy the beauty of nature just as much as sitting down. You can paddle kayak style, sitting with your legs stretched out. Some even use a double-bladed paddle and move that way. There's nothing sacred about standing. It's just one option.
Okay, phew. And they're notoriously hard to stand up on. What's the most common mistake that you see and your number one tip for staying vertical and dry?
Probably the most common mistake is paddling with the wrong side of the blade. The lower part of the paddle is curved, and beginners often use it backwards, which means they're not really getting support from the water. In fact, when you use the paddle correctly, the water itself helps you keep your balance. It's actually pretty hard to fall if your stance is right. Your body weight is distributed 50-50, a slide forward lean, and the paddle placed properly. Even if you do lose balance, most of the time you just end up falling onto the board. But if your stance is off and your weight isn't centered and you're using the paddle wrong, lean a bit too far one way and suddenly you're doing an unplanned backflip.
Now, I hope you won't mind me saying, but it's not the most strenuous of sports. Would you say there's a certain meditative aspect to it, especially when we're here surrounded by these picturesque views?
Yes, I'd say subboarding is less about sport and more about meditation. It's about, you know, slowing down and soaking in the beauty around you. I see it in myself and in the people who come out with us. At first, everyone shows up a little tense, tired, stressed, maybe even cranky. But by the time they come off the water, they're glowing. Water has this way of taking away your worries, your nerves, all the weight you're carrying. You feel completely relaxed. That's why I believe subboarding is really more about...
Certainly agree with that.
...mindfulness than fitness.
And I guess the same leave-no-trace rules apply out on the water as they do on the land. What do you tell your subboarders?
The first thing I'd say to anyone going out on a sub, leave overconfidence at home. Close your door on it when you're setting out for a sup ride. Don't bring it with you onto the water. Some people skip the leash, and that can be fatal. In fact, two people died here earlier this spring because they weren't wearing leashes and weren't properly dressed for the conditions, no wetsuits, etc. There was a strong wind. They had phones with them, but once they fell in, everything was soaked and lost. A nasty story indeed. So, safety has to come first. The ocean, like the mountains, doesn't forgive mistakes. SUP may look lighthearted and fun, but it's still a sport and it's still the sea. You have to respect it and follow the safety rules.
I guess it's also quite an ecologically friendly sport. It's quiet, there are no motors, especially compared to, say, jet skis or powerboats.
Subboarding is also one of the most eco-friendly and quiet ways to be on the water. You're not polluting and you're not disturbing the environment, basically. Take the seal rookeries, for example. If you approach them by boat or jet ski, the animals scatter in fear. But on a sup, you can glide right up close, watch them in their habitat, take in that atmosphere.
And not disturb them.
All without bothering them at all.
So, Jana, when you're out on the water on a morning like this and you look back at the land, how does it change your perception of where you live?
Honestly, subboarding has completely changed the way I see Vladivostok, its coastline, and Primorye as a whole. Before, like everyone else, I just go to the beach and stay on the sand the whole time. But with the subboard, you can paddle out and see so much more. It's so beautiful out there. Towering cliffs, caves, grottos, little islands you'd never reach by land. Even a car won't get you there, but a sub opens up horizons you won't be able to reach otherwise.
Gentle strokes to full throttle. We team up with a local group of jet skiers for an adrenaline-fueled tour of Primorye's rugged coastline.
Kirill, Peter, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Now, I've just been SUP boarding, and they're pretty much suited to this type of water, calm waters. But something tells me that these jet skis are capable of taking on much more challenging conditions.
Of course, jet skis can withstand much more challenging conditions. The only time we don't take them out is during storms. Otherwise, they let you cover big distances, reach places an SUP or even a motorboat can't. For example, slip into small shallow bays where a boat would never fit.
Where are we going today?
Today's route will take us from some of the popular tourist spots, the really scenic ones, out toward wild areas where you'll find seabirds and seals. It's all within 40 kilometers of the city.
Sounds perfect.
So very close by.
Let's go. Поехали.
Let's go.
Wow, Kirill, what an experience. To me, it felt like we were going pretty fast. Tell me, when you're bombing it along, how do you read the conditions on the water, the waves, the wind? Because I guess you have less time to react than on the SUP to sandbanks, rocky outcrops. You must know these waters fairly well.
The first thing we always do is check the forecast that tells us what to expect. It also helps to know the waters. If we're heading somewhere unfamiliar, we always go slow and keep our distance from the shore. Just now we passed Cape Vyatlin, and far off the coast there are reefs. You may have noticed them. If you don't know they are there and the weather turns bad, you could end up right on top of them. That's why it's safer to stay further out.
And where are we now?
We've now reached Shkota Island, which is technically part of Ruski Island. They're connected by a narrow sandbar you can cross on foot. The water's only knee-deep. Sometimes, when there are big waves, you can even ride a jet ski across. We'll head straight across to the Verkhovsky Island, just opposite Shkota. That's where the real wild nature begins. Seal colonies and a big bird island. There's also a beautiful lighthouse. We'll see how far the weather lets us go.
Sounds amazing. Let's go.
Let's go.
Kirill, where have you brought me? What is this rugged island?
This is Ptichy Island, or Bird Island.
I can tell.
You can't see the birds right now because of the wind. They're hiding. But in good weather, this place is teeming with life. There are also larger seals here. We'll go on a bit and see them in large numbers.
Superb. And it looks like there's an old lighthouse that looks like it's seen better days.
This island is out in the open sea, and there are a lot of cliffs and reefs that can be hard to see in bad weather. That's why a lighthouse was built here sometime in the mid-20th century. This lighthouse isn't in use anymore. The shipping lanes have moved much further out. Only small boats, jet skis like ours, and the most determined paddleboarders come here now. So the lighthouse is simply abandoned and no longer in use. But lighthouses are a major symbol of Vladivostok. We are a city on the sea. lighting the way for ships.
Kirill, where are we now? What's so special about these islands?
Strange as it seems, we're in the water now. We're actually right in the center of Vladivostok's island territories. Behind us are Ruzhsky, Popov and Reyniki Islands. Those are inhabited. But we're on Mali Island. It's uninhabited by people, that is. But it's home to spotted seals. It's the closest area to the city, just 15 minutes away, where you're already in the wild, surrounded by wild mammals.
Superb. Well, I certainly saw some of the seals with their heads bobbing above the water as we were coming in. What makes this island so appealing to them?
It's safe for them on these small islands. Firstly, seals can't stay in the water all the time, they need to rest. They also breed here, and there's plenty of food for them all around. They eat whatever swims in the sea. Fish, crustaceans, some mollusks. Most importantly, they hide from large predators here, like orcas and sharks.
So the shallow waters really help them.
Right, large predators can't get in here.
Well, they certainly didn't seem too bothered by our presence, but how should we behave not to disturb them?
They aren't bothered by us at all. Seals are very curious by nature, but the rule is simple. You can look, but you can't touch. That's the basic rule for any wildlife encounter, anywhere. We're just here to observe. And most importantly, don't try to feed them. They have more than enough food here. They're very well fed. They put on a lot of fat for the winter and then breed in the spring.
I can tell the jet skiing's a large part of your life. What can you find here in the waters around Vladivostok that you would struggle to find anywhere else?
Vladivostok and the entire Primorsky region is a unique place for its concentration of beauty per square kilometer. In general, I think nature is the best therapist. And for us in particular, it's the sea. This is how we relax.
Now we take a dive below the waves with a man who's not only very well acquainted with the local wildlife, he's made it his personal mission to rescue injured seals.
Zhenya, nice to meet you. Peter? Are you ready for an underwater adventure today?
We're always ready. Are you ready?
Well, I hope so. Now, I've done a bit of diving before in the Blue Lake in Kabardino-Balkaria. How will this be different in the Sea of Japan? What safety rules should I follow?
The Blue Lake was cold and quite deep. Its true depth is still unknown. You had a thick neoprene suit on for that. Right now, it's our velvet season. The water's quite warm, though there may be thermoclines. Also, the Blue Lake is practically lifeless, but here, during our warm season, you can encounter things that, in principle, shouldn't even be there. You might get lucky. We have much more marine life.
Yevgeny, have you got some equipment I can borrow, please?
Of course.
Thank you very much.
The suit is almost the same as the one for the Blue Lake because we might hit some thermoclines.
Right.
We'll get to the rest later.
Superb. Thank you very much. I'll get changed and I'll see you in a second.
You can change over there.
Right, that's the hard bit done, Yevgeny.
That's not everything yet.
Well, Zhenya, I've heard so much about the richness and the biodiversity of the sea life here in the Sea of Japan. What animals might we see today?
We'll try to find some lager seals and octopus.
Awesome. And generally speaking, what's so unique about diving in the Sea of Japan if you compare it with other popular diving spots?
This is a frontier where polar and tropical fauna mix. In winter, you can find the lion's mane jellyfish and other creatures native to the north. But now, in this season, bluefin and yellowfin tuna can swim through. There have been sightings of the mola-mola, or ocean sunfish, as well as eagle rays and stingrays. Those were isolated cases, but as I said, you can encounter species that you wouldn't expect to find here. That's what makes the Sea of Japan so unique.
Right, well, I think that's enough talking. Let's hit the water.
Let's go. Well, as we say, there are no weak divers.
Right. Well, I hope I won't be the first one. Quite heavy. There we go.
Whew. How much does this weigh?
12 kilograms. That's with a bit extra, just in case. You can lean forward slightly to make it easier and tighten it in that position. Pull it as tight as it will go. At depth, the suit will compress and the belt could slip off.
How's that?
As you're our guest, we won't make you carry everything. You can have a seat.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
The ride isn't long and the boat is fast, so we'll get on the boat fully dressed, travel a short distance, and dive right in. And now for the main piece of equipment, the reason we dive.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Yevgeny. Oh, tell you what, there's no need for leg day in the gym now. Cheers, Yevgeny. Let's head to the boat.
Seals are very common here. How did you get involved in rescuing them, Yevgeny?
I was just walking along the beach and found a seal. It had an injured flipper. You could see it clearly. I raised hell, as they say, found the number for the rehabilitation center, and delivered my first seal. That's how it all started.
And how do you find out now if there's a seal in trouble? How do people contact you?
So when people find a seal, they contact me directly. I go to the location, provide first aid, and transport the seal to the rehabilitation center.
And what was your most challenging or memorable rescue?
The most difficult rescue was when I had to climb a sheer cliff for a seal pup. My arm was injured at the time. I made a makeshift carry bag out of my windbreaker, put the seal inside, slung it over my shoulder, and started climbing. The cliff was nearly vertical. I carried that seal through the forest and over the mountains. The most memorable, however, was probably my third seal. It felt like it saw me, and tears streamed from its eyes, maybe from joy or maybe from hope. We named him Zhika. It turned out to be a girl.
You said you got the impression that a seal knew it was being rescued. Have they ever shown any signs of gratitude towards you or even recognized you if you came across them again?
No, they probably don't recognize us. The conditions at the rehabilitation center are designed to keep the seals as wild as possible. But there was one seal that had been pecked by an eagle. When we found it, with the captain of this boat actually, pus was oozing from the wound. And when we were treating it, you could see the seal was cooperating. It understood we were trying to help, even though it was in pain. That was one of the few times it felt like a seal might recognize you and understand that you're helping. In the wild, maybe they do recognize us. It's hard to tell underwater which one has passed through your hands.
And do you think your work here has raised awareness among the population of Vladivostok of the plight of wildlife here and pollution.
Yes, animals suffer from our trash everywhere. Seals in particular are badly affected by fishing gear. This year we've already seen some disturbing things at the sea lion rookery. There was one sea lion we kept seeing with a flasher, a lure for catching salmon sticking out of its mouth. It must have swallowed a fish on a hook, and the flasher was left dangling from the line. We also found a sea lion tangled in a net. While we can sometimes catch and help a laga seal, it's practically impossible to do that with sea lions at our rookery. They carry out disentanglement operations on Tuleni Island, but we don't have the setup for that here yet.
Evgeny, thanks for telling me about your work and taking me out on the water today. Спасибо.